This podcast contains adult content and adult language. In no way does this reflect the opinions of other contributors of Good Morning Gloucester or Homecast. Your discretion is advised.
Good morning, Gloucester. Time for Alicia Unleashed. Talk about what's going on in these streets. Alicia, Alicia Unleashed.
Good morning, Gloucester. This is Alicia Unleashed, and it's episode 68.
Yes.
It's pretty crazy.
It's crazy. It is, considering where we've come from, which we just talked about, but that was off air.
That was. I mean, I think people have listened to us enough about that because they kind of bring it up every single time. So tonight we have an awesome night. We've been actually wanting to get these ladies on for, I think, honestly, more than a year.
That is true.
That's a true story. Mm-hmm. We've been talking about it for more than a year. So everyone's going to be really excited to hear from them. So who do we have tonight? We have B-Side.
What up?
And we have the gals from Wags to Riches. We have Patty and Christy.
Hi.
Hey. So before we get in with Patty and Christy, let's get into the hot plate. Last time we recorded, all shit broke loose, like, the next day.
Well, there's been a lot of, like...
Well, since a lot of shit, man. Like, a lot.
Every time we record, something new comes up.
Like,
so.
Almost like the next day. I'm like, damn, how did we not... So last time we had aired, the next day, Vegas happened.
Yeah.
And we had just... literally talked about Puerto Rico, which we did not dive too much into because we knew you gals were coming on and we kind of wanted to save a little of that to kind of, you know, talk about. So we can just kind of like...
Yeah, we had recorded an extra episode to just be like a filler until you guys came on. And we talked about some other things and then... Sunday night happened, and I messaged Alicia and said, you know, we're not going to air that episode because obviously things had changed, and it was just bad timing. So it was like, you know, we were talking about like the NFL. We were on a huge rant, which I felt relieved afterwards, but I deleted that episode today. I was like, yeah, you're just never.
Oh, is that going to be like lost? We'll never even find it again?
Nope. Oh. Never.
Because we do have some episodes that we have aired. We've recorded and we never aired. And they're kind of just sitting there. And we don't know if we can resurface them at one point. You know, right time, right place type thing. But you deleted that?
I did.
All right.
It was just, you know, it kind of just gave me a reality of like there's more important things than the distractions of what that actually was, because that definitely had distracted us. It heated me for a while. It still heats me, but I'm more heated about other things. I'm like, hey, let's focus on this. Let's focus on that. Also, Tom Petty passed away.
Yeah.
So gotta mention that he's not
because
that's official, right?
Yes, yes.
Someone said it wasn't, and then it was, and it wasn't.
Yeah,
he was on life support.
So the LAPD had stated that he had passed away when in fact he hadn't.
He was on life support.
He was on life support.
Yeah, they jumped ahead anyway.
And then they pulled him off of life support, and then he died.
And then he did.
Yeah.
But it was all within the same day.
Yes.
So I can see the confusion, but...
It was really confusing.
There was a lot of things happening that day. The news was just... I mean, the news today, like even Vegas a week later, the reports that were first coming out were not the reports that were happening. My thing is that, you know, I was talking with my friend who was a 911 dispatcher, and she had said she had listened to some of the tapes, and of course there's confusion on the ground. Because you don't know where the fire is coming from. So, of course, people are thinking it's people on the ground. Of course, because you don't know where it's coming from. Mandalay Bay was actually one of the first hotels I had gone to in Vegas. I snuck into a certain award show there when I was 25, 26. Wow. Yeah, for my birthday. I was like, let's go to that. And we did. Only in Vegas. So it kind of hurt because I love Vegas and... That stung a little bit. I have some friends that got injured, but No one I know specifically.
No one I know.
Either. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's that. And then there's also the Napa Valley fires in Sonoma County.
I know, and that's
fires.
Happening right now. Like literally as we speak. And so, yeah, that's also crazy.
And the numbers keep changing.
You just can't contain it.
No.
It's so sad.
Because there's like 15 different fires happening. And I'm getting people, obviously, because I lived in that area. I've got friends that are sharing videos or photos of animals that were left behind that, you know, are now in shelters and stuff. Mm-hmm. And some of them, I'm just like, oh, just give me them all.
I want
to
save them.
Like, yeah, I just want to save them all. I'm like, Tukey will have to get over it. I just, you know, I need them to come with me. Like, I just need, there's just, you know,
That's how we feel.
Yeah. Yeah, it must be tough for you guys. Like, when you see pretty much everything, you're just like...
And everything, and the hurricanes and all that stuff. That
just in general, too, before the hurricanes and natural disasters. So let's quickly hit your hot plate, and then we'll get into why Christine and Patty are here.
Yay. So we did talk about last time, we talked about the Cape Ann Power Yoga...
Joel Kalinowski.
Yes, his program, and that's actually this week.
Yoga for Surfing on Sunday.
That's going to be Sunday. So we talked about it last time, but it's actually right around the corner. So
also, just an update that all the proceeds from this event are actually going to help the Puerto Rico Hurricane Relief Fund.
Oh, perfect.
So that is an update. That was not something I had last week.
Okay, awesome. So, and then in the Browns Mall, we have the Get Outside Center.
Yes.
And on October 21st, from 6 to 9, if you have a $5 donation, and that is the Scary Pumpkin Carving
Session. Yes. So you can bring your kids. You can learn how to carve a scary pumpkin for Halloween. It's a $5 donation suggestion, but they're putting that on. I saw that while I was walking my dog, so I took a picture and was like, ooh.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah.
And then October 24th, we have Joel's wife, Christina.
Yep.
And she is doing a free wellness workshop at CrossFit Cape Ann at 6:45 on October 24th on a Tuesday.
Yes. And she will be discussing what food is telling your body. And she's going to have some treats and some recipes and talk about like what foods can say to your body and what your body says about your food and your food intake and stuff.
I think that would be it's going to be a great channel.
Yes. So also just keep in mind that because Cape Ann CrossFit is an actual gym, space is going to, our seats are going to be limited or creative. So bring a lawn chair if you got one.
Yeah. Or you're just going to be sitting on the floor.
Or a workbench.
Where everyone sweats.
Gross.
It's pretty disgusting. You've seen the way they sweat in there. Yeah. So, Patty and Christy. So, talk to us about what Wags to Riches is.
Okay. Well, we are a dog rescue, and now we are rescuing cats as well.
Okay.
We only rescue right now in Puerto Rico.
Okay.
And
that's for cats and dogs.
Cats and dogs.
Okay.
Cats.
All right.
Usually are strays. Sometimes their owner surrenders, or there can even be pulled from a kill shelter. So when we go down there, we actually go into the shelters and adopt dogs. We adopt the dogs.
Yeah.
And get them vetted, and then we bring them up here. And they usually go to Cape Ann Animal Aid.
Yeah.
Or we have some other affiliated shelters out of town. We have Buddy Dog in Sudbury. We use Husky House in New Jersey. We use Buddy Up in Maine. We use Coastal Humane in Maine. And now there's two other groups, which I forget their names, that want to work with us to help the hurricane surviving dogs and cats.
Okay.
And the good news is that the groups in Maine are more apt to take the pit bull mixes, whereas we've had to kind of stay away from rescuing the pit bulls as much as we love them, but we didn't have a placement for them.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of just
opens up. Is it a state regulation?
No, it depends on the shelter and who they're taking. And so it's just been one of those things where we just haven't been able to really concentrate on them. As many good dogs as there are, we know that they the shelters wouldn't accept them, and then they'd sit waiting in Puerto Rico, or if they came to certain places here, they'd sit. But now with these people in Maine, we have more opportunity for them, so we can actually look at additional dogs.
Right. So who did you guys create this, and how long you guys been doing this?
Yes, we created this. How many years ago do you think? 7-ish?
So we met at Cape Ann Animal Aid volunteering.
Okay.
So I think Christy's been there like 10 plus years, and I've been there 9 plus years.
Yeah.
And we were Thursday night girls.
So and what does that mean?
We volunteered on Thursday night.
Okay.
They stayed open till 7, so we would, you know, do the end of the night shift and put all the dogs to bed. And so we wondered why and how do these dogs get here from Puerto Rico? It's like, what is that all about? Because it was like, okay, they're here, but why and how?
We're just curious of like, where are all these animals coming from? Because they're not, well, I mean, some are local, but we don't get that many in that are local. So they go down the south and do Puerto Rico. They do Trix and Caicos and some other islands. So, yeah, we decided to go to Puerto Rico.
We said Suniva was going to Vieques for some type of a
meeting or something.
Yeah.
Convention.
Yeah, a convention. So we said, if we pay our own way, can we go down?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, well,
if you could pay your own way, you can go anywhere.
So we rented a hotel, motel, and Adelia from El Sado set us up with some people to take us around while they were in Vieques. And from what we saw, we're like, you know what?
Terrifying.
There is such a need.
Yeah.
We can do what they do.
Right.
Right.
And from that...
Yeah, I mean, we started volunteering with kind of... Well, we were going down... Once we went down once, we went down right away again.
Twice
a year.
And
then we started going twice a year, and we paid for everything. And we meet new people all the time, meet new rescuers and everything. And what happened was we started to kind of rescue dogs, but they were going through our like El Sado rescue because they had the outlets and connections. So we would rescue dog, pay for everything. It's like, can you place this dog for us, you know, because we rescued it. And then it was just like we kept on meeting new people, and then they wanted us to help them with their dogs. And then we were finding dogs and cats and stuff. So I said, Patty, I think it's time we start our own nonprofit because this is getting bigger than what we can, you know, handle by passing out. Like, here, I have this dog. Can you please help us?
We had no control.
Yeah, we had no control. Right.
We were at the mercy of everyone in Puerto Rico as far as getting the dogs and then scheduling transports and trying to maneuver everything and get them here.
And you know, if you want to get something done, you got to do it yourself.
Right.
So we we said, okay, so we... became a nonprofit a few years ago.
Yep.
And ever since then, you know, we've been growing. We will be looking for other people to join the board. It's an all-volunteer group. Nobody gets paid.
Right,
100% of the donations that we get go to the animals. Patty and I put in our own money, too. Like, we don't... Like, if we buy our, like, you know... leashes and collars and everything for the dogs. We pay our own money and we ship it down. We pay the postage ourselves. Any fundraising, we pay for ourselves.
Right. Yeah.
So only the money that comes in only goes to bedding and transport costs to come up here.
So how many dogs have you rescued and placed in all the time that you've been doing this?
Probably like over 400.
What?
At least.
Yeah.
At least.
Wow.
Because each year. Moms with litters.
Yeah.
They can have 8 to 9 puppies, you know, even more.
Right.
Right. Each year has increased. So the first year we were a nonprofit, I think we brought up 43. The next year it doubled. The next year it was 100 and something.
Wow.
Last year it was like 173. And this year we're probably close to that with 3 months to go. But we had the two hurricanes to contend with, so that really put things a little bit back.
It's a standstill.
But, I mean, we have dogs and cats ready to go as soon as it opens up. There's an embargo. on all the airlines that would have flown the dogs and cats. So we're at the mercy of them. We can't ship kennels back. We can't ship dogs and cats out. We're like, we have brick walls everywhere.
Right.
Wow. So we're relying on, like, the Humane Society is using Wings for Rescue planes, I believe. Mm-hmm. And they're taking in dogs, but their dogs go to New Jersey and then they're shipped out to only affiliated shelters that the Humane Society works with.
Oh.
And our dogs and cats are very, very, very important with us. So we
right.
won't do that because we want our dogs to go to places that we know, that we know the people that are running the places, that we've, you know, seen the places.
Right.
We wouldn't just ship out animals to some random shelter that we don't know. So we're not using that path right now.
No.
We did send up 7 schnauzers, schnauzer puppies today, but they were going on a private plane that we're helping pay for, and they're going to Buddy Dog in Sudbury. So we did get 7 puppies up today.
Oh,
that,
wow.
That we
okay.
are affiliated with. We work with Buddy Dog.
Right.
So,
right.
So
and how did you find, so how did you find those dogs? How did you know that those dogs were in need?
Our friend Edna. Well, okay, so down in Puerto Rico, we have volunteers.
Okay.
And we work with the same people, Ricardo, Edwin, Edna, Maggie, Amity. Yeah, there's like about, I don't know, like 8. Or less.
Okay.
We stick with people that we trust and everything. Some of them have their own rescues.
Okay.
And what happens is they volunteer for us and they bring our dogs to the vet, which we have 2 vets that we can use in Puerto Rico that we have accounts with.
Right.
And at the same time, we place their dogs. So we're affiliated with more shelters than they are.
Okay.
So we'll say, they'll say, okay, this dog's ready. They send me all the vet work. And I do a whole checklist for the shelter. I put pictures before and after, all this stuff.
Right.
And then once that's done, Patty steps in, and she schedules. She's a court. She coordinates all the scheduling for the airplanes and stuff.
Okay.
So, and then once that happens, Patty and I actually pick up the dogs at the airport and bring them to the shelters because we want to see the dogs. We want to meet the dogs,
right.
cats. We really care about them. So we go. We bring them to the shelter. We get them settled in. Take photos for the rescuers down there, show them that they're great and they're happy.
Right.
And then we follow it. We follow through where, like, did they get adopted? Especially with Cape and Annalie, we're there.
Right, right.
So we get to see it.
Yeah.
So
right.
we sometimes see the new families.
Right.
Like you.
Yep.
And she has one of our dogs. So it's great. So, like, if we, you know, sometimes when we're walking, we see dogs that, like, I know that dog. That
and we're stalkers. We are dog stalkers. So
yeah.
when we see a dog that was one of our dogs, it's like, wait a minute, is that? And
oh yeah,
you know, it's just.
I
did
ever change the names? Like you didn't.
Yeah.
You didn't change the name.
I didn't change her name. Christina changed her dog's name. Her dog was Diva, and now it's Kea.
Okay.
And they actually, like, Tuki and Kea came over on the same plane. They came
oh,
the
really?
Same time. Yes.
Oh, wow.
So Kea got adopted pretty much within, like, a week or two of her arriving, and Tuki sat for 6 months.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
Tuki is an awesome dog. Super awesome. When Patty and I met her, it was in Cialis, Puerto Rico. It was one of the, actually might have been the first or second time we were there. You got one of our first dogs that we helped with.
That's pretty awesome.
First
yeah.
Areas, yeah, yeah, one of our, like, that we helped with.
And fun fact is 4 years ago tomorrow is the day I adopted her.
Oh, yay.
Yeah.
Wow,
yay.
Cool.
Yay.
Yeah, when we saw her, she was with other dogs, and
yeah.
she was at a group, and she was a stray. So someone either abandoned her, most likely. I don't think she grew up on the street. I'm not sure. She wasn't feral or anything like that. She was very friendly. So
she's housebroken.
Yeah, she's
like,
probably born
so,
in a home.
Yeah.
And then what happens is people down there, not everybody wants to bring the dogs to the shelters because most of them are killed. Not all of them. There's some sanctuaries there that are no kill, but they have like 300 dogs in a backyard, which is crazy. You know, we've been to some of them.
We've seen some
dogs are stacked on top of them.
Wow.
Some sites you don't want to see.
Yeah.
Right.
And so some people just say, hey, I'm going to drop this dog off at a beach. And someone may go pick the dog up. Or, you know, there's a lot of people
right.
around here. There's a lot of tourists. They'll feed the dog. They'll feed the dog. So they think they're doing the dog justice by dropping the dog off somewhere. instead of bringing it to a kill shelter, because the euthanasia rate is like
95%.
Holy crap.
You bring a dog in, it's euthanized.
And it's not even like you have like a 3-day hold or a 7-day hold. You could bring the most beautiful puppy or dog into the shelter, and it may be euthanasia.
Yeah.
Wow. We got a phone call, oddly enough. We were at Cape Ann Animal Aid, and someone from Puerto Rico had called the shelter asking for us to save this dog. So Christy got on the phone with one of our contacts in Puerto Rico and said, Osvaldo, can you go to the Carolina shelter and get this dog out? By the time he got there, the dog was gone. And we're talking about hours.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And some people think if you put bows in their hair and you put little cute dresses on them and you bring them there, that that's going to be the savior. It's not.
Right.
It just doesn't matter. It could be purebreds. You know,
right. Dog.
People that pay thousands up here for a dog, you know, it's just down there. They're just going to euthanize that dog. It doesn't mean,
right. Not
that it even matters if they're purebreds or not, but just saying in general, like, people think that all the strays are mixed breeds and all this stuff, but there's a ton of purebred dogs. We've gotten tons of boxers.
We pulled four purebred huskies out of the Carolina shelter.
Mm-hmm.
Four.
In one time.
Wow.
We brought them all up. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, four huskies.
Yep. We, when we would visit, we would find out who's on the euthanasia list, who's going to be next,
mm-hmm.
and we will pull all those dogs, whether it's 2, 3, 4, we've pulled. And what happens is you pay a $60 adoption fee, they do all the vetting. When they're ready to go.
That big shelter.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
We've adopted many dogs from that shelter. Many.
Wow.
Beautiful, healthy dogs. And brought them up here, and they were all, of course, adopted.
The smaller shelters, though, there's also $60, but they don't vet the dog prior.
Mm-hmm.
So when they do the DX test, which is a heartworm test, and they test for anaplasmosis or
Ehrlichia.
If the dog has it, you pay for that heartworm treatment and stuff. So you don't know if the dog has something, like it could have Lyme.
Right.
Could have anything. And, you know, we would 100% obviously take the dog and get
mm-hmm.
it treated.
Yeah.
So what happens in Puerto Rico is there's, like, say, municipalities. So that would be, like, individual cities.
Mm-hmm.
And so it would be like the dog catcher, animal control.
Right.
So they round up all these dogs.
There's a reason why Tuki does not like the UPS man or the mailman or the truck. She's loving the UPS truck, by the way, because he gives her treats. And one day last week, he stopped at our house, gave her a treat, and apparently it was delivery day for Amazon for all of Taylor Street and Friend Street and Elwell Street.
Yeah.
So every few feet, he stopped. She was like, hey, friend.
Oh,
I was like, how do you learn this stuff? I'm like, oh my God.
She's smart.
She does it once,
oh, yeah.
and she's got to do it every time. Oh, yeah.
The street dogs are very smart.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
They're street smart.
They're
survivors.
They are.
That's true.
Amazing. Yeah. Like, I didn't even know. I'm like, how did you live, you know, like that? Sometimes I like put myself in that place, like, you know, we've had dogs with broken legs for over a year that we've, like, seen on the street, and then we might not have the money to get the dog or, you know, the means. We don't have fosters or anything like that. And then when we do, we, you know, obviously we have to get the dog, like, amputated. But I'm thinking in my head, like, imagine living with a broken leg for a year. Like a person.
Right.
Imagine living with, like, you know, scrounging for food and water with a broken leg that has to live in the scorching sun, the pouring rain.
No water.
Right.
It's horrible.
And I'm assuming that it's also hard for you guys to find fosters down there, too. So what is the difference between a foster and adopting, just for people that may not know?
Well, fostering down there, they have the dogs fostered till they're vaccinated
mm-hmm.
and ready to travel up here.
Mm-hmm.
We do not place our own dogs up here because we are we work with just the shelters right now.
Sure.
We can eventually do that. We can eventually we either rent an isolation room or buy, like, you know, make our own isolation room, but the Department of Agriculture has to get involved with that and all that. And that's a lot of money. And plus, once they're up here, if we started doing that, we'd have a vet. We have to take them to a vet and pay extra. So we just paid all this money in Puerto Rico to get this dog 100% vetted.
Mm-hmm.
State law says you have to isolate them for 48 hours in Massachusetts. Then you have to have them re-vetted by a state vet. So now we're paying for an isolation room, and then we're paying for the vet. So that's more added cost.
Right.
Wow. So that's a lot for two people up here to be doing. So,
and it's just you two, right?
It's just us two up
here. Wow. Okay. Wow.
So we do, and we work full-time jobs. And
right.
we do everything up here. We're basically all the we do all the coordination of getting, you know. And a lot of it's done by Facebook.
Thank God for Facebook, because
our friends
like
post
instant.
Photos. Mm-hmm. Yeah, our friends post photos, or they'll say, hey, there's this dog, and, you know, but we don't have the money. Is there any way you can rescue him? Like, you know, we'll like let's check our account. Let's make sure we have some money and stuff, because we have to definitely make sure everything, you know, we have enough. And so once we know that, then we have to find a foster down there, which is sometimes it's very difficult to find a foster down there, because
mm-hmm.
a lot of people have like 20 plus dogs in their home that are already fostering.
Oh, wow.
And
we want them to have like socialization. Like
right.
we want them to be nurtured, because a foster home can have 20 dogs, but they may not have that time to spend with them to, you know, teach them social skills and affection
mm-hmm.
and things like that. It's basically taking them off the street and feeding them three meals or two meals or whatever,
right.
vetting them. But we try to get a foster that's going to be just like our home.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because they will be ready to go into an adopted family.
Right.
And not have some of the issues that the animals that are not attached to
right.
humans.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we found some really good fosters.
Yeah.
Some of them are people are transplants. They're from
yeah.
up here, and they move down there and have bed and breakfasts, or like
just
rent out their home down there, and they're
right.
retired. And they do an amazing job. They
yeah.
teach the dog how to sit, how to like, you know,
all
come,
stuff.
Stay.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
Be gentle, everything. And then they write
right.
us a big, enormous bio. That's amazing.
Aww.
So when they come up, we can have this big bio for the
yep.
adopters and loads of pictures. And
right, right.
Videos.
Yep. Wow. So when's the last time you went to Puerto Rico?
In May.
Okay.
So, and we usually been doing the spring because it's cheaper then. Like,
okay.
the winter is too expensive because everybody's on vacation.
Yeah.
In the summer, it's way hot down there. It's like 100 humid. Like, it's so humid down there. We've done that before.
Right.
And we went in the fall once, and we got stuck in a hurricane, which
yes.
was like our second trip down.
We couldn't move.
We had to
stay
there for
the
next 3 days.
In Puerto Rico.
Wow.
No, nothing was flying.
It was like our second trip.
Mm-hmm. No.
Right.
So that's why we're either going to go in the spring, or you could go late fall. But because we put so much of our own money in, we don't really have the extra to go twice a year now.
Right.
So we usually go in the spring.
Okay,
yeah.
gotcha. So speaking of hurricanes,
yeah.
So we just really kind of just spoke about everything, you know, normal interaction, normal business, normal everything.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have this devastation, right? And so just, I don't even know where to begin with this. So
yeah.
I don't even know. I honestly really don't know. So talk about when all this was happening. You have volunteers down there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, did they lose their homes? Or how is this? Just talk. I'm just speechless,
well,
like thinking about it.
For a few days, we didn't hear from anybody because they didn't have any cell service.
Right.
And then once they finally kind of drove around, there's like little hot spots everywhere. And then, you know, they started to finally text us and be on Facebook Messenger.
You totally,
say,
you must
okay.
have been totally freaking
we're
out.
Okay.
I mean, you've been working with these people
yes.
day in and day out.
For years. Yeah.
yeah.
Well, there was Hurricane Irma.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So an example would be we had two babies rescued before Hurricane Irma came because we knew that when Irma hit, these puppies would perish if they weren't taken off the street.
Right.
So these two babies, Monroe and Storm, they were pulled, and this woman lives in Calle, which is an area that was hit pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
So she had taken all of her rescues and went to another area that wasn't going to be hit so hard. Well, from that one, it was a few days after the storm that we heard everyone was okay. She didn't lose her home and everything like that. And then shortly thereafter, now Hurricane Maria is coming.
Mm-hmm.
So she had to once again take all of the rescues and go somewhere to an unknown location. And it's 3 weeks today, and we just heard from her yesterday.
Oh, my God.
She lost her home.
Oh.
Everything.
Mm-hmm.
She's staying with someone else with all of her rescues, including Monroe and Storm.
Wow.
And they're fine. And so we were in the midst of trying to find another foster for them because they've already started their vaccinations. They need one more set, and then they'll be good to go once the airlines start flying dogs out. But it's like, so there's one almost 3 weeks after the storm. Then we have another one that I tracked through her job. She works in a hospital. I had private messaged the hospital and it said, we'll get back to you within 2 hours. So it was the next day that they wrote back to me and said, we apologize for not getting back to you as quickly as we had hoped, but she's fine. She has another one, Pumpkin,
right,
that we hadn't heard anything from since the night before the storm.
Wow. Right?
So it's, and then we still have a friend in Salinas that there's been no contact because the bridge was washed out and it's it was heavily hit.
But is that the one that you posted? There was a post that you posted where the water was literally pouring in from a top window.
That was Ricardo's home.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, my God.
That was his kitchen.
That was his kitchen.
Yeah, it was
so
the kitchen window.
Imagine this. It's a window that was a top window, like above your windows.
Yeah.
Kind of like, you know how like basement windows are, but they're
the
top ones?
Yeah.
Yeah. The water was literally it was
gushing.
A waterfall gushing out, like into his.
Did he get out?
He stayed in his home. Luckily,
what
happened was the water went like down into like the basement area, and then went back out the
and
door.
And then went out.
Oh, get out.
So he's
so
lucky that it just went like it formed a path and just went right back out his door.
Mm-hmm.
But he lost his terrace, I think.
Yeah.
And he just built a beautiful terrace on top of his house with a bar and everything.
Pool table. It's like an
that
entertainment
place.
Wow.
Right on
yeah.
the top of his roof. And he said that was damaged. And then our friend Edwin, his car was damaged. His garage door was broken in half.
Yep.
They didn't get as severe, which was good. But some of our other friends have gotten a lot worse. So it just depends upon where you were on the island. What your house is made out of.
If it's wood,
right.
your house is gone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If
okay.
you have cement. Now, I made contact with, we stay at a condo in Carolina when we go to Puerto Rico. So I had emailed her and said, you know, how is the property? And I believe everything's fine. It's literally right on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
But she said her son was one of the rescue people that went into Puerto Rico to look for people and things like that. And she said he was devastated because he pretty much grew up on the island. So
right.
it's just, you know, depending on where you were is dependent on, you know, and like El Yunque, which is the rainforest, got totally a mess.
Yeah, right now, like all the trees are gone and all the flowers. So people are actually feeding the bees sugar water on their windowsills and their like balconies because there's no flowers. There's no place for the bees to pollinate.
Wow.
So people are feeding the bees so that they don't die.
And on top of that, they're trying to feed themselves.
They feed themselves
and
right.
water.
So
there's no water.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Water is shut off on most of the island.
Right now, there's an outbreak of leptospirosis.
Okay.
In one town.
Yeah.
One little town.
Yeah, which is horrendous. That's one of, like, when you get your dog's vaccinations, DHLPP, leptospirosis is one of those vaccines.
Oh.
It's created by vermin, urine, wildlife vermin, water, urine. So you can get it very easily.
People can get it and dogs get it.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it usually attacks, like, the liver. It can kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Or it can, you know, debilitate you for life.
Right.
You know, and I just can't believe that they're living without water for going on, what, 4 weeks now, I think it was.
Yeah.
And no electricity. I mean, some places do have water. Some people do. But not everybody. The majority of the island doesn't. But some people do.
Right.
And electricity isn't going to come back anytime soon. I mean, all the poles were snapped in half down there.
So what about the shelters that you guys work with as well? I mean, what's going on with that? There's no water for the dogs or no electricity or what's happening down there with the shelters?
I don't know about, we haven't heard anything about that, but the Carolina shelter is owned by the
It's
city.
It's a
nice actually.
Pretty
it's a nice
wealthy
shelter.
It's, you know, it's got a veterinarian center. It's a shelter and
they're probably generators, so
I think they're probably fine. But there are multiple shelters throughout the island, and some of course are very, very poor.
Mm-hmm.
Very poor.
Yeah. So who knows? I don't know. It's just right now we're just so much focused on like the people, like our rescuers, our friends and our fosters, and you know they can barely get out near their home, so it's like really hard for us to like even find out what's going on in like other shelters.
So down there have things for you halted right now,
or
like what is, because you're obviously so focused on the people and what's happening with them and trying to keep in touch or just trying to find them after 3 weeks. So what does your day look like now? Like how has it changed?
It's,
you know, you went from this hustle and bustle to, you know, so what's happening?
Well, we're still talking to everybody down there and we're still trying to get our dogs ready. Right now we're trying to find vets that are open.
Okay.
That are running on generators and things like that. A lot of vets lost all their vaccines because they're refrigerated. So our vet lost all his vaccines, and we're friends with one of the vet tech at the vet's office. We met her. She's a rescuer. She does golden retriever rescue down there.
Okay.
And I texted her, and she said, I'll let you know when we reopen. I'm like, okay. So we're trying to go around to asking people, is your vet open?
Yeah, just trying to figure out where can we...
Well, we
continue
can't,
vetting
right,
for
but
ours.
We can't ask for a lot either because of the big gas shortage down there.
Right.
And people don't have jobs, really, you know, because there's...
And the roads are closed and because there's so much debris that you can't get to places. So that's why a lot of the cargo ships that are out there waiting to come into Puerto Rico, it's all fine and good. The gas is sitting there, but they just can't get it to those places from what I've been told.
Yeah. At first, there was no truckers to...
Right.
But there was no way at first you could get through streets. But then you could, and then they had to find people to actually, you know... But the big trucks needed diesel, and diesel was really short down there. And that was a problem. And the diesel was going to the hospitals first to run the big generators and stuff like that.
Now, are you finding that more, like, people that you're reaching out to and help for rescuing, do you feel that people are unified and helping right now with the rescues versus beforehand where they might have been like, I've got my own stuff I'm doing?
No, everything's not the same. They are so not selfish whatsoever.
No,
they just think about the animals. They think about their family.
Yeah.
And they think about us, which is, I'm like, no, don't think about us. Think about, you know, you gotta like focus on yourself, you know, but they're like, no, but we want to get your dogs and we want to do this. I'm like, focus on yourself. Focus, you know, don't worry about us. We're fine. Like right now, Patty and I, all we want to do is make sure that they're safe and happy. So we've been trying to ship down packages. One package actually made it yesterday, a UPS package, which was oil. We shipped 4 quarts or whatever of oil to a friend that said he couldn't find oil for his generator. So I went to the store and I said, Patty, it's $60 to ship it. Want to split it? Okay.
Let's do it.
Let's split it.
Right.
And
so you're
going to
do everything you can.
Right.
Yeah.
So we paid for it and like, you know, to ship it down. And he got it yesterday, and he was like, oh, my gosh, thank you. Thank you so much. You don't know.
Now, how did
they
get – yeah, it's like, so how did – you know, so they're allowing planes. Are they – so at this point, are they allowing planes?
And
how did he – yeah, okay.
UPS just started back up.
Okay.
I don't know about FedEx. I don't really use FedEx that often.
Not sure.
As for the regular mail, USPS, it's 90% of the offices are open down there, but there's such a backlog.
Right.
That I don't think they're shipping. I think it's, like, every time I look it up, it says it's in transit, because we shipped up a ton of boxes to our friends, like food and everything.
And they haven't gotten it yet?
No, it just says in transit. So I think it's, like, they're trying to get out the mail that's already down there, and then they're probably going to ship more in and just, you know. But if there's such a backlog that I think that's why it's taking forever.
Yeah. Right.
So now, Patty and I are going to pay for freight. We have 2 giant
barrels
at Cape Ann Animal Aid right now. That thank you, Cape Ann Animal Aid, for helping us. They picked up donations for us.
Oh, my mom just spent $85 at to like yesterday and the we dropped it off.
$85.
We dropped. I cleared out the Dollar Tree's examination gloves because I was like, she's like, these aren't the same gloves, and then I was like, let's go to the first aid section. You know my favorite section on the planet because that's usually where I live is in the band aid section. And I saw examination gloves, and I was like, oh, it's 10 to a pack, and she's like, clear out the shelf, and I had so many things, and I was just like. So when we went to the animal shelter yesterday, they were talking about, oh, yeah, we just had a delivery to Turks and Caicos. My mom's like, no, this box is specifically from Puerto Rico.
Oh.
She's like, I'm not delivering this unless it's for Puerto Rico. Oh, like, she's nice. Like, no. And I was like, yeah, I think it's the only truck going out is the Puerto Rico truck.
Yeah.
She's like, I want to make sure this is going to Puerto Rico. Is this going to Puerto Rico? She asked, like, she asked three different women. I mean, we bought, like, cat. She's
thank
like,
you.
She's like, oh, what do you think? What about, like, this? And I was like, I don't believe they have full running water right now.
No.
So maybe let's not, let's get other things. I mean, she bought so much hand sanitizer, like
yes,
$85 worth
big.
Of things.
Hand sanitizer, baby wipes.
Yes, yes, we bought ton, like, the cart was full. Like, I told the girl, I was like, I apologize in advance. Actually, I don't. Here, I grouped everything together. Just ring one in, and I'll tell you how many of what we got.
Right, that's awesome.
But yeah, my mom specific, she's like, man, I should go back and buy more. I'm like, tomorrow's another day. Let's go back.
I saw people dropping off things.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
A friend just dropped off a bunch of baby items and stuff. And I have a big box of diapers someone else dropped off. And
yeah.
So we have these two big barrels. So we're going to drive them to Boston on
Saturday morning.
And have them weighed. And then we're paying for the shipping.
Why Boston?
Amerijet is a freight company.
Oh,
so
okay.
We're going to put them... our friend Edwin is going to pick up the two big giant tubs if he can fit them in his SUV.
Yeah, they probably weigh like 200 pounds apiece,
wow.
Roughly.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's loaded with non-perishable. So it's
mm-hmm.
dog food on the bottom, cat food, and then like miscellaneous things slip in the spots where
right.
like, the bags don't fill in. And then the wet wipes
yeah,
and some of the stuff for
right.
dogs, like
uh-huh.
medicinal stuff
yeah.
and
mm-hmm.
just a mix of everything, paper towels, cleaning solutions. I mean, it's just
the
right.
basic functions that we have,
exactly.
they don't
yeah,
have.
Right.
Exactly.
And also trying to, like, I tried to explain to my mom yesterday, like, she was like, what about hand soap? They're going to need hand soap. I'm like, they don't have running water, so...
Mm-hmm.
Hand sanitizer. So, I mean, I think we bought $15 worth of hand sanitizer,
right.
like those big tubs.
Someone posted a picture today of a guy on Facebook in his apartment naked taking a rain bath.
Because it's been raining again.
Someone took a picture of him butt naked. Like,
yep.
I mean, it was like on a high rise building and his whole apartment, like the whole, there was no walls anymore.
Wow.
And he was sitting in the rain, washing his hair. You know, because there's
jeez.
Like, I mean,
right.
I guess
yeah.
you have to do what you have to do. Otherwise, you're doing
right.
it. You know, and some people are going to creeks and trying to bathe. But that's where, like, the lepto and stuff, like, people.
But the airports aren't open for people to get out.
They are now.
They are.
They are
but
now.
They're not taking animals. They
okay.
will not.
Or if you are one person and you have a small dog in cabin, you can take the dog with you.
Okay.
Right? We've been asked by multiple people if we can ship their dogs. They're leaving the island. They're going
yes.
to wherever.
Mm-hmm.
And we say, I'm sorry. We can't get our own dogs off. We can't. They're
right.
not flying dogs. They're
right.
just not.
So how many... So before all this happened, how many dogs did you already have ready to come up here?
In the process, let's see. You know, Wendy.
and you can name them all.
I have to do it because otherwise I won't remember. Storm. What was the other one?
Storm? Amity's and the two Dachshund mixes.
Plus seven.
and then Pumpkin's just about ready.
Like 15.
Holy moly.
So maybe... Even more, the thing is like, we rescue our own dogs, but then, like I said, we place other people's dogs, so that's in the list, too. So, like, our
dog
friends...
Storm, I feel like. What kind of dog is Storm?
It's tiny.
You want to see Storm?
I can't have another dog, but this dog storm just keeps
they're
coming.
They're cute. They're a little like scruffy looking.
Well,
now,
Storm
if someone
is black and tan.
Yep.
So mm-hmm. if someone can't, you know, pretty much if they can't get to donate over to the animal aid with like the supplies, where mm-hmm. else can they go to help the cause or help you guys?
They can go to our Facebook page.
Okay.
Which is, you know, wagstoriches.org, and it's a number two not written out. So wagstoriches.org. There's a donation button on that page. You can also go to Facebook,
15 pounds,
uh-huh. and look up Wagstoriches Dog Rescue, and there's a donation button
slide
there
it,
as
and
well.
You'll see Monroe.
Those are the two easiest ways.
Now,
do
you also have
out.
A PayPal, correct?
Yes,
can you,
we have a PayPal.
Can they find you on PayPal through Wag to Riches?
I don't know.
Dog Rescue?
They might be able to if they just put in our name.
Because I haven't tested that
one. Well,
if you go to PayPal and you put in our email address.
Okay, which is?
Which is info@wagstoriches.org.
And is two spelled out or is it numerical?
Numerical.
So it's Wag to Riches
Dog Rescue.
Dogrescue.org. Okay.
And yeah, they put that email in, that will go right to us.
Okay. Great.
And we are a nonprofit, so you can.
Tax deduction.
So just so we can be clear, because we have been talking a lot about CAPE and Animal Aid.
Yes.
You are separate.
We are separate, yes.
Okay. You are separate, although
separate
you still. They help you adopt dogs. Like, are you almost like a partner or kind of talk
we're
about
affiliated.
What you're affiliated?
Yeah,
okay.
So they take in some of our dogs
okay.
from Puerto Rico
okay.
and they put them up for adoption for us.
Okay.
They get the adoption fee. They you
yes.
know, do all that because they have they have an isolation room already.
Right.
They isolate and they have their own vet that comes in and does the
okay.
vetting and stuff. So we're affiliated with them. So
yeah.
we bring up dogs and then they adopt them up for us.
Okay, perfect.
Maybe someday in the future we'll be able to do it our own, like ourselves. But like I said, it costs money to find
so
an isolation room. And
how do you, okay, so you have, you know, you have, you know, your PayPal and the Facebook and how do you guys raise money? How?
That's mainly how we raise money. Sometimes we have
that's it? Just through that? I mean, there's no fundraisers. There's,
well,
like, domains.
We're
like,
starting our fundraisers now because
okay.
the thing was is that we were both on the board of CAPE and Animal Aid. So we could have raised money for CAPE and.
Right.
So we are not on the board anymore. We left.
Okay, right.
And now we're going to start doing, that's what we said, we're going to start growing.
Okay.
That's why we need more people to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not, a lot of our stuff is done in Puerto Rico. That's the thing. People really want to work with the dogs and rescue the dogs. And but up here, it's like we're doing all of the coordination, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So people like want to go with us to Puerto Rico and stuff, but we have a group that goes with us right now. So it's kind of hard. It's difficult. But we really would like someone that knows how to write grants. Because I'm not good at doing that stuff. And Patty and I both work full-time jobs.
Right.
And
so this is just a passion.
This is a passion.
This is a passion.
100%
this, passion. This is
passion.
Yes.
We'll probably do it the rest of our lives.
Yeah, right.
Put our own money into it. Basically, this is what happened. It was like we put our own money into it, and then we're like, oh, we can't. We don't have the money to keep on, you know, so that's why we, you know, we became a nonprofit.
So you can start doing fundraisers.
Get more fundraisers.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
So have you, you haven't done any fun, any
we've done
fundraisers per se, or how many have you
ones.
Done?
We've done little ones. We've done one at Patty's house before.
Yeah. We did, a pottery night.
Yeah.
So a percentage of the pottery sales went to
yeah.
the rescue. We've done a lottery, $100 worth of lottery tickets.
Yeah.
To
that we buy.
Money. Yep.
Yeah.
We've sold, my husband and I have beehives. We've sold
honey.
Yeah.
Right.
We sell like different things like jewelry. People make jewelry in Puerto Rico. We've sold
yeah.
that. We raise money at, when we do the
rescue reunions,
CAPE and Animal Aid does one. So like people
yes.
can come see the rescuers and stuff. We sell different products there. We do one at Buddy Dog, which is Woofstock, and that's in Hudson, Mass.
Mm-hmm.
We make money there.
And we do name the puppy. So we, if
yeah.
we have a litter of puppies, you could name a puppy for X
like
amount of dollars.
Oh, okay. Cool.
We do things like that.
Yeah.
Like we're going to to do more. We're going to...
Or sponsor, if you'd like to sponsor a dog. Like, mm-hmm. we've had, you know, we just put a post out there. If you'd like to sponsor one of our dogs, puppies, and then, you know, we might get an inbox and somebody might pay all of the vetting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Something
okay.
like that.
Yeah.
And our adopters. A lot of our... We have
yeah.
got a great group of adopters. And
right.
they will always
of
help
course.
Out in a pinch. If, you know... If we want to take this dog off the street, but we don't have that money,
mm-hmm.
we'll say, you know, we'd really like to rescue this dog, but we don't have the finances
right.
to do it right now. And then,
right.
you know, all that of a sudden,
it's expensive, you know.
Or if a nice poor kid has a birthday party
mm-hmm.
and they want to donate all their birthday money.
Yeah.
You know, that's
we'll
a lot of great kids.
We'll let them name a litter puppy.
What about Rob the other night from Karina's?
Oh, yeah. We had a friend that I met through Facebook, and he adopted a Puerto Rican puppy. It wasn't from us,
okay,
but it was
but
still.
He thought it was.
He thought it was, but it wasn't. But, yeah, he said, I'm going to bartend at Katrina's, and I'm going to give you all my tips. So that's a big shout out to him. That was super nice. So he did do that. So people do reach out and stuff. And now that you know we're about, you know, we can grow, we can do actually more fundraisers. And we'd like to get our name out there, get the word out there.
So through social media. So through social media, do you only have Facebook?
Facebook right now, and we have our own website.
Okay, what's your website?
It's the
Wags to
Riches.
Okay. And you can donate directly off that
mm-hmm.
as well. Okay.
Yes.
So I know you said you were talking about wanting to find someone to volunteer to help write grants.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever think about finding someone to help volunteer to put together fundraisers?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because
sometimes.
Because I know.
Have,
I mean, how do you? I mean, seriously.
I love fundraisers.
How are you guys going to do that any more than you already do? You work your full time jobs. You're putting in your own money for these things. You're going to Puerto Rico. You coordinate. I mean, literally, and like fundraising in itself is a feat.
Right. Well, that's what we need to grow too, because we need
mm-hmm.
to, like, expand.
Yeah.
Of, like, people that know about us as well. Like, we have only so many friends and family that, you know.
Right.
So we need other people to come in that have friends and family that we can spread the word even more.
And
right.
do something big. Like,
do something
example
bigger.
Would be Cape Ann Animal Aid has the Winter Ball.
Yes.
So it's, like, their biggest fundraiser of the year.
Yes.
So
when I had my restaurant, I had donated,
know.
I had did a centerpiece, right? Each business donated a centerpiece.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Right.
Yes, that would be. Oh, those are so much fun.
We use
the dream, you know. That
right,
would, like,
right.
But how do we get? You know, we have to start doing things.
You have to get the awareness out there, so they know who you are, so they will
exactly.
come and they will donate. So I think you're.
Right.
I think you're there.
More,
you know, I think the awareness is getting there because I've heard of Wags to Riches. Did I know what it was? Not necessarily,
mm-hmm.
but I have heard of it.
Right.
So it's that whole. Yeah, I've heard of that. Wait, I have. So you're at least you're getting that. And so
mm-hmm.
have you thought of, because I'm sure you're posting a lot of pictures. Have you?
All the time, yes.
So then have you thought of just going on Instagram?
Yeah, I have my own personal account and I post pictures under my own personal account, but I do need to make one for Wags to Riches.
Right, especially because you go right from Instagram right to your, Wags to Riches on your Facebook. So
yeah.
I just...
Yeah,
awesome.
I should. That's another
awesome.
Thing, right? She was telling me too. She was like, "Why?"
Yeah,
I'm like, I don't know, because I just post
yeah.
on my own page, and like, but you're right. We should have more.
Yeah, because if you wanna, you know, you are. I mean, this is something that
every
is...
animal that we rescue
wow.
or we
you be your own
help rescue.
You definitely
we post
yeah.
them all under Facebook and online
mm-hmm.
every year. We put every dog and their names.
Cool.
So people can look it up and see.
Well, she's got a great
right.
catalog. So, like, from year to year, she's
yeah.
got everyone.
Yeah, every spreadsheet.
Like, everyone
wow.
from that year.
Awesome.
This dog came
and where
in,
it came
which
from.
Shelter
right.
it went to. So if we go to Woofstock, which is Buddy Dog's event,
yeah.
she's got everybody
Woofstock,
in Buddy Dog's in that book. And then if Cape Ann Animal Aid, all the animals that
yeah.
Cape Ann Animal Aid are in this one. So if they want
yeah.
to see... this is, you know, your puppy or...
Just in case. Yeah. We really remember almost every single dog we brought up.
Oh, I'm sure.
Only time we get a little, like, hazy is when there's puppies and people bring them back as adults. And we're like, oh, right.
Yeah.
Because they were this big and now they're this big.
Right.
Like, those big litters. Like, we took in our first pregnant mama.
Yeah.
We brought two this year.
Wow.
And one had seven,
mm-hmm.
which all got adopted, and then she came up and got adopted as well.
So wait, when that happened, did you wait for the litter of puppies down there and then bring them up, or did you bring
yes.
the mother up pregnant?
No. We waited because
okay. She
was just about to pop.
Okay.
So when we rescued her with her two babies. She had 7-month-old babies already.
Okay.
With her. And so we rescued all of them, and the babies came up first, the 7-month-old. Teenagers, I guess you can call them. So they got adopted right away, but she had a growth on her tail, so it took a little bit longer because we had to have a biopsy to make sure
okay.
it wasn't cancerous and stuff, and we just found out it was just, like, it was nothing. It was benign.
Mm-hmm.
It was, like, a cyst,
mm-hmm.
so they just took it off. But then eventually she came up and got adopted. But before that, we had to wait for her puppies, and she had 7
mm-hmm.
healthy, ginormous puppies. I don't know how they all fit in her. And they all got adopted. We know where a few of them are.
Yeah.
A friend of hers adopted.
By
a fighter in Gloucester adopted one of ours.
Yeah.
So I get to see pictures of her all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So
is your adoption, is it 100% basically? Or, I mean, you don't have any dogs that you bring up here that are still kind of waiting in the weeds. Like,
we have no dogs right now.
Mm-hmm.
Here.
So
no, because of the hurricane.
Right. No, we're not right now. But in general, when you bring dogs up, within how many days or weeks?
It depends. It really
okay.
depends.
Okay.
Like, some go the day they're posted.
Wow.
Some go before they're even up because volunteers will adopt them or someone in the
yeah.
vet's office will adopt
before
them.
Before they put them online.
Right.
So that's why they don't like us to let people know who's coming, because if somebody in that chain...
Wow.
Adopts them, they're not going to be,
right,
you know,
available.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. We do put holds on some of our dogs. So if you go to our Facebook page or whatever and we post a dog that you absolutely love, then you can let us know. And we'll let you know which shelter it's going to. And if we can put a hold on that dog for you, we will.
Wow.
Doesn't mean you have to adopt the dog. You might meet the dog and might not have a connection. And that's perfectly fine.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. We'll just put them up for adoption with the public anyway, and
yeah.
they'll find a loving home. But, you know, some people see dogs and they're like, oh, I have to have that dog. And
yeah.
one of my husband's coworkers saw a poodle we got, a poodle puppy.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a ton of people that wanted this dog.
Yeah.
A ton of people. And we brought it up, and a friend of ours has Sweet Paws Rescue, which was in Essex. Now it's in
Groveland.
Oh, okay.
And she has an isolation room, and she isolated the dog for us. She got the dog ready, checked up here and everything. And then she adopted the dog out for us to the person, which was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So we have means of adopting, like, if you like a dog, let us know. And we'll
right.
try to do what we can to...
Right. It doesn't have to be directly through KPN or Buddy Dog, because we do have other rescues that we work with, and
okay.
they're more than happy to
right.
coordinate with us.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You fill out their application, though.
Okay.
Maybe,
yeah.
you know, and then it depends on where they go, you know. Some
yeah.
places might do home checks.
See, both of my dogs are rescues, but I wish I would have known about you guys, you know, then, and then it would have been really cool to...
Mm-hmm.
To have that connection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one's rescued from Arkansas and the other one's
nice.
In Tennessee.
Oh, yes.
And it's so funny because people ask, well, are they brothers? I'm like, there's no, like...
Brothers from a different mother.
Yeah, exactly, right? Right?
They
but they're so total opposite. One's shorter, one's taller, one's
mm-hmm.
tail is down, one's up, one's ears are up, one's ears are down, one's, you know, it's one's lighter, one's darker. Everything,
yeah.
they're completely opposite, but...
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so how many dogs do y'all have?
I have two. I have an 11-year-old now and a 9-year-old.
Oh.
They're both from Puerto Rico.
Okay.
I got them both from KPN Animal Aid. One was when I wasn't even volunteering there. It was at the old shelter downtown, and I moved out of my parents' house, and I I could never have a dog. I want a dog. I wanted a horse. All dogs. All my dog was a pregnant hamster.
A bird.
No, I got a pregnant hamster that Santa Claus didn't know was pregnant. I did get a bird. I adopted a bird from someone that actually lived till 30 years old.
What?
Yeah. He passed away last fall. He had a tumor, but he lived a really long, amazing life.
Wow.
Yeah. But when I went down to the shelter, I told Mark, I was like, my husband, like, I really want a dog. And I'm like, this is it. I've always wanted a dog. I'm 20, I think it was like 26 or 28 or something. I was like, I need to have, you know. So we went to the Bayonne Animal Shelter. And I didn't really know about Cape Ann that well. I thought they just had cats at the time. Because I didn't know.
Yeah,
like, I didn't
right.
know. A lot of people in Gloucester don't even know there's a shelter. Like,
right.
I've had people come up
and now it's a beautiful shelter.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, it's,
the place is so, compared to the spot
the
that it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, of course, the ones that I saw at Salem, they were already adopted. And, and I was like, okay, let's go to Cape Ann. And they had a litter down there. And that's when I got Sadie. We got the fattest, laziest one that didn't even come up to see us. She's perfect. And she's still the same. And, oh, my God, we love her to death. And then Paola came 2 years later. And she was a petrified little scared dog in the corner that would just growl at everyone. I happened to be one of the only people that could go in with her at the time. And this was actually downtown as well. And my one of the other girls, one of the staff members, could go in with her. She went into foster home for a while, and then they couldn't keep her anymore, so they brought her back to the shelter. And I said, oh, I get it. You know, she was miserable because she just was so scared. So I was walking her and stuff, and I said, okay, I'm going to take her home. And I ended up fostering her. And then, like, before a week was up, I said, that's it. I'm keeping her.
And she got along with your other dog just
fine. Oh, she loves Sadie.
They
get along so well. And, you know, she's gone through her phases. Like, she went from petrified of people to more confidence, where, like, you know, she'll do a nip on someone now.
Uh-huh.
They'll break.
Yep.
She
don't talk to her.
Yeah.
Don't look at her. Just walk in.
She's gotten so much better. But yeah, I have a heart for the shy guys, the dogs that nobody wants.
Mm-hmm.
That's where my heart goes. Dogs that have an issue, maybe mean, not mean, but just, you know,
misunderstood,
temperamental,
yeah. Kind of like every New England female in the winter,
yeah.
You know,
maybe something's wrong with it. I mean, you know, but. That's what I go for.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I love. And, you know, that's what rescue is.
And how many dogs do you have?
I have 3 now.
Wow.
We had 4.
Oh.
Abby passed away in October last year. She was sick for 5 days. She had cancer.
Wow.
And we took her to Mass Vet, and she was only 8 years old.
Oh, wow.
So we had Amber, Alex, and Abby. So Amber's 11, Alex is 10 and a half, Abby would have been 9, and Jack is 4.
And you got Jack pretty much around the same time I got Tuki, right?
He's 4 and a half.
Okay.
It's a couple years later, I think.
Or
maybe a year later. He did come up kind of close, right?
But I feel like because I became friends with you on Facebook, because
mm-hmm.
I found out that you two were the rescuers for Tuki, which
mm-hmm.
apparently there was a lot of people involved in Tuki's life
yes.
before I adopted her,
yep.
and I knew a good chunk of those people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wait,
yeah.
you mm-hmm. all had a part in this?
Sometimes it takes a ton of people to get one dog.
And the thing about Tuki, from where she came from, so it's this one area in Cialis. So there was Tuki and Monster and Layla and Bonita and 7 babies. And we cleaned out this area in
wow.
Cialis where
wow.
Tuki had
it took
come
a group.
From.
This is
yeah.
when we first started. So it took
yeah.
a group of like a bunch of people just
to help
us. It was
yeah.
like, okay, we promise we're coming back for you.
Mm-hmm.
We're coming back for
yeah.
you. And there was Corolla. And
some of these dogs were older dogs that were like, Like, we had Macho Man, and he was the one that impregnated all the time.
Jack's dad.
I heard about Jack's dad.
So he came to Macho Man. And
so
he was an old guy, and he came up and got adopted right away. But he was also, like, the alpha male. So we were a little concerned, you know, him going into a shelter situation, because here we go, we have an alpha male that lives on the street.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know.
And how old was he?
He was like 8 or so when I brought him up, right? Maybe 9.
Oh, my God.
So that was Jack and his sister Jill.
Yeah, look at...
That's
Jack.
My Jack. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
If you flip it, you'll see him now in...
right here.
Jill and Jack.
I would say Jack is...
That's a sturdy
a
dog.
Roddy,
mm-hmm.
boxer, pit bull.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a mix.
There is definitely a mix.
Yeah.
We have a friend that got a DNA test on her dog that she comes down with us, and she pulled a dog from the shelter. And it came back as a village dog because it had so many breeds in it that there was just no regular... There was just no one breed.
Wow. So if someone does want to do a DNA test, because mine are mutts...
Yeah.
What do you recommend they go to, or
you can just the vet, or you can go online and just
you can order
the
vet, or
you can do
the swab is better than the actual.
You just go online. Is there anybody in particular, or you Google it, or what?
I would just Google it.
Google it.
The best test or something.
Okay.
I never did it on my dogs.
Okay.
It usually costs between $80 and $100.
Macho Man.
It's not that expensive.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, look at
That's
looks
Jack's dad.
That definitely looks like one of Tookie's baby daddies.
Probably.
Because my mom, every time
that
she's...
That does look like Tookie.
Every time my mom sees, like, a dog on Facebook that was rescued from Animal Aid or, like, from the Puerto Rico, she's like, I wonder if that's Tookie's baby. I'm like, probably.
You never know.
Did she have babies?
She had the largest nipples I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. So...
And,
Oh, so you don't know, right?
Most of the older dogs,
yeah.
They would have, because they've been through so many heat cycles.
Right. You know, it's so interesting because my mom had posted a video of Tookie on my Facebook page and was like, look at this dog play with this ball. And she's literally just whipping the ball back and forth. I'm like, I need a Tookie. You know, when we got there that day, I went and got a flu shot that morning and was like, all right, let's go to the animal shelter. Not that I wanted a dog, because I was like, I moved home. I was like, I don't want a dog. I don't want responsibilities.
Right.
I want to kind of live my California life here in Massachusetts. Obviously, Massachusetts had different plans for me. But like, yeah, no, honey, you can't do that kind of stuff here. So all of a sudden, we go up there and Tookie's out there playing with the ball by herself. And I was like, wait, is that Cheryl? Like, the volunteer? My mom's like, I'm like, Cheryl, she's my second grade teacher. And I worked with her at the YMCA. And I walked out there and I was like, Cheryl. She's like, hey, what are you doing here? And I was like, well, we came to look at Tookie.
Aww.
And she's like, oh, Tookie's so sweet. But I've heard from Christina, who saw Tookie when she first was looking for a dog. She's like, yeah, that dog was not sweet to me. Now they're now that, like, Tookie, I mean, it's funny because when I walk my dog in the morning, Christina will honk her horn. I'm like, oh, Auntie Christina, and she loses her mind. She's like, where? You know?
Yeah. Scared. When dogs come up, it's just
new
people, new
right.
smells, and then it's just scary being in a shelter. A lot of kids.
Oh, we went yesterday, and I was like, why did you let me come up here?
It's the best decision of your life.
I'm like, I want to take them all home, but I have a psychotic dog at home.
Aww.
That does not like, I mean, she has jealousy issues when the fat-ass cat comes over and sniffs me.
The fattest cat in the world.
Oh, my God. It's,
I don't know.
There's a guy that, like, rides his bike up the street and goes, is Tigress still with us? I'm like, yeah, she's not dead yet.
She's literally the fattest cat you've ever seen.
She's got the tiniest head. No lie.
What's that, is it Cinderella that has
Gus,
the wicked
Gus.
Fat?
Oh, yeah.
No.
It's got the fat cat.
Not Gus Gus, because
that's
the mouse.
No, it's the sister's cat.
Yeah, the sister's cat.
The fattest cat is probably fatter than that.
Yeah, it's got the tiniest head.
There's a big fat cat at the shelter called Big Sally. She's got to be 25 pounds.
So my mom's cat, we've taken her to the vet, and the vet was like, "Well, your cat's healthy." I'm like, "How is this healthy? Its head is literally the size of this water."
How many pounds?
She's 28 pounds.
Wow. Ooh,
she is just all lumps. She's super healthy. Like they said, she's healthy. My mom gives her a quarter of dry food in the morning and a quarter of dry food at night. And everyone's like, "There's no way."
It's got to be thyroid or something. Yeah.
Well, we've had her tested and they're like, "No, she's fine." So, because we lived in the park, and there was tons of feral cats and stray cats down there. Mm-hmm. So, one of our neighbor's cat got pregnant by some stray cat, and every cat in that litter is just if not massive, as this cat.
Wow.
So,
that's funny because tomcats usually have the biggest head.
Oh,
right?
this head is so tiny. It is. I'll show you a photo. It's ridiculous. But, Tukey gets jealous when my nephew comes around.
Yeah.
If I hold my new niece, she's like, excuse me, I'm here.
Aww.
I'm here. But the minute my mom says something, she's like, "Oh, I'm going to go over here." And I tell my mom, I'm like, she only cares about me when I wake up first thing in the morning because I got a walker.
Mm-hmm.
And when I walk right through that door at night because I got a walker. And then once I'm done doing that, she'll sleep in her bed or she'll sit on the couch and she'll kick me and be like, "Are you going to pet me?"
Mm-hmm.
Like, but other than that, she is my mom's dog. Like she zeroed in on my mom at the shelter.
Yeah.
And my mom was like, "Oh my God." And
I swear they pick you.
Yeah,
they do.
They really do.
Except for Sadie. Sadie didn't pick us because she just slept.
But it's funny because the first year that I had her, when I'd walk, cars would like roll up on me and I'd get very tense because, you know, where I lived in California, when a car slows down, you're like, "What do you want?" "What do you want?" They're like, "Hi, sorry, is that Tukey?" And I'm like, "It is."
That's us.
Yeah. And I've had people even come up to me recently and I was somewhere and they're like, "Oh, it's Tukey." And I was like, "Oh my God, you recognize my dog." They're like, "Yeah, we used to volunteer." And I was like, "Oh my God, you were the little boy at the shelter and now you're a teenager." I'm like, "What? It's been this long." I'm like, "Oh my God." And Tukey just went right in for them. She's, you know, she...
They remember.
Yeah, there's certain people that she does not care for. And then there are other people. She's like, hi, friend. I'm like, "No, we don't want to be friends with them." No,
it's like Jackie Harloff's dog.
Yes,
it's
Becca.
It's like, "We're her aunts."
Oh,
mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
It's like there's a group of five
What's her name?
Becca? Or the other one?
Yeah, the one.
Darby.
Darby.
Yeah.
Oh,
Darby.
My goodness. Every time Darby sees
Darby
us.
Darby was at the shelter for so long because she had that heart problem.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all there for all that time. And then, you know, whenever Darby would see us, she'd bring
she
her to different
out.
Events. And
she
it would be
so
like,
happy.
The insurance.
Which is interesting because Jackie used to take Tukey to the pet. To Petco for training and stuff from what I was told.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, "Who's this Jackie?" And then I find out and I'm like, "Oh my God, I've known Jackie forever."
Yeah.
And then now she's Auntie Jackie because,
yeah.
And only Auntie Jackie can groom Tukey because Tukey is particular and will not cooperate with the other groomers.
Mm-hmm.
So now we specifically have to ask for Auntie Jackie. So when I tell her, "Hey, you want to go for a ride? Let's go see Auntie Jackie." She just
excited.
Yes. And then she gets in there and she's like, "No,
you tricked me."
She's like, "What is this?" But yeah. Oh my God. I do feel bad because one day your husband was walking your dogs by himself separately and I didn't catch it in time and I hadn't learned the little treat trick yet.
Yeah.
And I think one of your dogs just was like, "Rawr, rawr, rawr," and Tukey went back and I was like, "Oh, I'm so sorry. Where's Christy? She'd understand."
No, he understands me 100%. I know. I'm like, "Mark, hold my dog. I can't go see Tukey."
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I love her. I love our dogs. Oh, my goodness. Every time I see them, I get so excited.
So how do you not adopt them all?
My husband gave me a quarter of two. Otherwise, I'd be kicked out. No, I don't know. Yeah, no. I would have more, but... My two are very particular. Like, they love each other, but they don't always like other dogs. Like, my little one can be sometimes aggressive with the other dogs. And then my big one is leash aggressive, but if you take her off leash, she's fine. So it's just, they just do so well together that it just wouldn't be
That's the way my dogs are.
And
they
then,
are very, that they're,
yeah,
they're
bonded.
Stuck.
And
stuck.
If I brought
mm-hmm.
in another dog, it would have to be a puppy. It would have to be a small puppy
right.
for them to, you know, because they seem to like puppies better because they know
why?
That it's a puppy.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, right now it's fine. And we're busy.
Yeah.
We got this. I'm taking them for walks.
Yeah.
My husband's taking them for walks. I'm working. I don't know.
So what are you thinking about adding a fourth since you just lost
no,
one?
I keep
well,
on telling her.
The thing is.
We had four, so.
My husband is, like, semi-retired. So it was fine when we had the four. And, well, Jack was a foster. Jack was one of our rescues, and we didn't know that Jack had been hit by a car when he was in Puerto Rico. We only found out when he actually arrived and was in isolation. One of the staff members noticed that he had kind of a funny walk. And so eventually it was found out that he needed an FHO, a femoral head osteotomy. So because he was ours, and we thought, well, you know what? I talked to my husband, and we said, you know what? Let's foster Jack to make it easier on the shelter, and when he's ready for surgery, he'll go for surgery, we'll take him back, have him post-surgery, and then when he's ready for adoption, we'll let him go back. Well, he was then ready to go back, so I would drop him off in the morning, and I said, with the understanding that he's going to come back with us at night if he wasn't adopted during the day. So I'd drop, Rick would pick him up, he'd stay at home, and everyone at
the
shelter...
So it's like he's just going to doggy daycare.
I know, exactly. And I was saying from the beginning, I'm like, Patty, you got to touch. Nope.
It's just
I'm
a doggy daycare
is
going with you every
you
night.
You have loved it, even a fall in love,
we,
I know
we
you.
We all felt terrible, and it's like the staff was saying, he's really depressed while he's here, and it's like, no, he's not depressed, he was having a blast with the dog before he came, he's tired. They're like, no, he's depressed. So... Rick and I were both feeling the same way. It's like, oh my God, how can we do this to him? That he's not going to get what we give him. So one day, he's like,
I was with you, and you're like, I think my husband just adopted the dog.
Honey, I'll bring him today. It was a Monday because they were closed, and I'm like, really? I don't. He said he went to pick Jack up at the shelter, and he was gone. I said, what do you mean he's gone? I said, they're closed. He said, I don't know. He said, they just told me that he was gone. And I said, well, maybe someone had seen him and maybe they made an arrangement to have him picked up. Well, I'm sitting at my desk at work and now I'm bawling. I am bawling my eyes out. And I text Christy and I'm like, can you believe it? You know, Jack is... Rick
both
said
like,
he's not
no,
there.
They're not open on Mondays. They couldn't have happened. She goes, well, maybe he's a private. I'm like, yeah, probably. I don't think he'd ever let this dog go. And
so I come home, and I come in through a walk-in basement, and I look up, and there's my three girls looking at me. And meanwhile, I'm like crying. And I'm like, I'm hoping that Jack is there, but he's not there. And I get up at the top of the stairs. He was holding him in the bathroom, and he comes running around the corner, and I'm like, how could you do this to me?
Oh, so he didn't even cry all day long?
Well, yeah, exactly. He said,
oh.
I told Sunita to take the cage cut off. He's not coming back. Done.
Oh.
So he said, no more fosters. No more
pickets. Yeah, no, because
he
you
just,
can't keep them all.
No.
And we would. He
can't
give
them
back.
Right.
We just can't give them back.
It's,
yeah.
I mean, that's why I don't, like, the people in Puerto, like, our friends in Puerto Rico, they're like, I mean, they just foster. I'm like, they do fall in love.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I could never.
My friend Pam, both of hers come from Cape Ann and Adelaide.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one was a pit bull rescue.
Yeah.
And we're talking more than 10 years ago. And one was a black lab rescue.
Mm-hmm.
They were both probably within a year, and they're both around the same age. And she the pit bull was very, very, very young. Oh my God, maybe even 10 weeks. She raised this pit bull to be the freaking sweetest thing in the whole entire world. Like, if you just, like, it's like 100 pounds of muscle
mm-hmm.
that it just, like, when he lays on you, you're like, oh my God, are you serious? And he thinks he's like a 10-pound puppy.
Aww.
But that's just the way that she has raised him mm-hmm. since day one to be
yeah.
this
yep.
huge, like, teddy bear, basically.
I love
him. So Cape and mm-hmm. Ale Maid, you know, I mean, it's been years and years, and it's great.
I love
yeah.
They get a bad rep for, you know.
It's the people.
It's the people, but it's not. And that is my friend Pam is a true testament to how you raise your pit bull
mm-hmm.
because this dog is the biggest, the biggest teddy bear ever.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah. I think too. I think it's like all in the news where people just like,
mm-hmm.
you only care about it because it's on the news and they're saying, oh,
yeah.
those vicious pit bull. I know more chihuahuas that have been in a pit bull.
Yeah, I'm more scared of her black lab than I am of her.
It's the little ones.
Bull.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
Like, the little ones are the ones that, like, are their nippers and, like, come right. Like, argh!
Right.
Like,
right,
and
right.
they're more willing to bite you. Dachshunds, like,
my sister-in-law's dachshund.
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah.
both of those are dachshunds mixed, but, one's a beagle mix and the other one's a Jack Russell
yep.
dachshund, but they've never
mm-hmm.
they've never nipped anyone. But
that's good.
Yeah. The Jack Russell, I think they both have the traits. Like Polk is the beagle; he has more traits of the beagle, and Champ over here, he because he's like a dachshund, he has the spinal disease,
oh,
so his back
good,
is constantly out. That's always.
I was always afraid to.
But he's so
like
smart.
That.
It's. I talk to him like a human because Champ is like the smartest dog in the world. So, so Bridget, we must be at like an hour and a half by now.
We are at an hour and 25 minutes.
That's
this,
a lot of talking.
Holy mother crap, because this is the longest, this is now considered the longest podcast we have ever done.
Yeah, probably.
We've never been in an hour
well,
in 25.
I've got to edit a 30 seconds. Bit out, yes. But,
okay.
You know.
That, other than that.
Other than that, you know.
Other than that.
Do we get a
this
trophy?
Is good stuff.
You do.
You can come back, too.
You get to come back, too.
I would love, okay, we're going to have to know how many dogs are going to be rescued after this podcast, because not only when I share this, I have a lot of friends who are obsessed with dogs, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just named one. My friend Marina is another one. Marina knows she can't adopt and foster them all, so she just gives all her money to all the agencies. She's one of those, right? So I just think this is, I honestly really feel it's going to be a huge success because we have so many people in our lives that are so passionate about
mm-hmm.
it. So thank you guys for so much for coming
thank
on. It was a lot of fun.
Us. You're welcome.
I learned a lot.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
I told you.
Yeah.
I told you.
I can't wait to see you guys grow because you have a lot of growing to do, and I
yes,
really feel like
do.
it's going in an awesome direction. So.
And we're going to put in our show notes to help wanted in search of grant writer.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We'll help get the word out. We'll see
yeah.
what we can do. You know, you never know who's listening. Maybe someone's just waiting for something. You know, a new passion and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
and maybe they're really great at grant writing. They just didn't.
Oh, we
know.
Have a lot of amazing grant writers in Gloucester that volunteer their time. Trust
well,
me, I'm sure.
Look it
up. Coming
Let's
up.
Do
I'm
this.
I'm sure somebody will pop
Let's
up.
Let's
so.
Do this. All right.
Awesome.
We
so thank you.
Thank
you, girls,
you.
For coming
well,
up.
Thanks for having
thank
us.
You. And episode 68, now officially the longest podcast in the books. Out.
Peace.